on at the top of hour number two. We'll be breaking down what he saw last night. We'll be previewing the games next week as well. All right, before we hit the break here, I got some volleyball love we got to give. Section championships were on Thursday, all six of them. So a few upsets, a few road wins to win a Valley Championship, Central Section Championship. In D1, there was a great matchup between Buchanan and Clovis High. Clovis High was the one seed, I think only three or four losses on the season, ranked 16th in the state. Well, Buchanan goes on the road and wins another Central Section title. They defeated Clovis 25-19, 28-26, 20-25. They lost the third set and then won a thrilling fourth set, 25-23. I was following that on Twitter a little bit. So congratulations to the Buchanan girls for winning the D1 Central Section Championship. And D2, CBC defeated Aurora Grande 25-17, 23-25, 25-16, 25-20. I said over Aurora Grande, congrats to CBC. And D3, Bullard, straight set victories over Napomo. Emmanuel won the Division 4 girls volleyball title. Remember, they won state championship a couple years ago when they beat Mammoth on the road. They lost the first set but won the last three. And Morro Bay defeated North in straight sets to win the D5 championship. And then in D6, Wonderful College Prep Academy, if you're wondering where that is, that's in Delano. They beat Torres, the only match that went to a fifth set, 25-13, 24-26, 20-25. So they had to win the last two, and they did, 25-22 and 15-9. One last thing before we hit the break and talk about the games from last night. Big announcement yesterday from San Joaquin Memorial Basketball. Jalen Green is coming into town. On Wednesday, November 19th, they're going to retire his jersey on the campus of San Joaquin Memorial. They're playing Bakersfield that night, and Jalen Green's going to be there. Hang his jersey up there in the rafters with the Pondexters, the Lopez twins. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a great night. Tickets go on sale on November 12th. You guys know how small that gym is. That place is going to be rocking. It's going to be packed. Memorial has a really good basketball team this year. In my mind, it's a top three team. So Jalen Green's coming into town, and one of the great things I love about Jalen Green, not only is he a phenomenal athlete, but he loves Fresno. He gives back to his hometown. I've seen many pictures posted on social media of him giving shoes to the team, reaching out, having his camps. So that's going to be a fun evening. We're going to be there for sure. Whether or not we're going to broadcast the game, not sure about that. But stay tuned. Stay tuned, but hey, make sure you guys get those tickets and obviously get there early. It's a 7 o'clock game. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to break down the games from last night, hear about that Clovis and Frontier game a little bit more, and some of the matchups are going to be happening next week as well. You're listening to On the Central Valley Sports Report on 14. We're good. All right, welcome back. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430. Your local sports leader. High school football playoff talk going on today. Lots of games last night. There were a couple on Thursday. So I'm going to do something a little bit different. I usually go to highschoolratings.com and get the scores from there. They would do it in leagues, right? And I just kind of list them off. It was all on one page. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to go to Max Preps. And if there's a little bit of lag, I got to go back and then load another page and then click off, you know, one of those wonderful ads that pretty much take up the whole screen and it's a video. It's kind of ugly and a mess. Everybody's been there. So stick with me. I'm going to do the best I can going division by division, starting with Division 1 AA, which is the highest division. Let's go with the one seed against Clovis East. That is the Central East Bengals, defending champs. And how about this? You know, probably like a lot of you, you're following games last night, either on Max Preps or Twitter. And this game was 21-21 at half. And it just seems like Central East has been really not really getting going until the second half. Keeping teams in the football game. And then in the second half, they're just like, all right, let's be the Central East Bengals and let's just get after it and let's put up, you know, whatever, 56 points for the game. Score 7 touchdowns in the game. I got to give some credit to Tristan Kircher, great athlete at Clovis East. Their quarterback, Jay Spurgeon, has been injured the last couple of weeks. So Kircher, you know, that take a lot of snaps, stepped in and did a really good job for the Timberwolves. He scored 2 touchdowns on the ground last night, ran for 59 yards, did a good job passing as well. He threw for, 179 yards. So good job by him. But Central East was just, they were too much in the end. Again, 56 points total. Jelani Dipple, their junior quarterback, who really came into his own last year, threw for 7 touchdowns, guys. 7 for 398 yards through the air. So he was on point, especially in that second half. He spread it around. 2 touchdowns from Xavier Jones as far as receiving. Titus Thomas, the sophomore, caught 2. Bayon Harris had 5 catches for 133 and 2 touchdowns. And Brandon Smith had 1 touchdown through the air as well. Brandon Smith didn't score a touchdown on the ground. 10 carries for 97 yards, and he came in on a big heater, scoring 14 touchdowns in his last 3 games. So not on the ground, but 1 through the air. So congrats to Central for making it to the D1AA semifinals. They're going to be taking on Buchanan at Collegian Stadium next Friday. Buchanan with a 32-14 win on Thursday. The Bears playing really good football. Really. We're leading Central on that Thursday game to end track 28-20. Grant Mosier is a dude over there. Caught 2 touchdowns. He's big. Haven't really used him that much in the offensive game plan. But he looked really good in that win against Clovis North. 32-14 was that final. So Central East and Buchanan are going to be playing at Collegian Stadium. And in the bottom part of the bracket, Clovis West, the 3-seed, defeated 6-seeded St. Joseph 28-7. It was 7-7 for a while, but Clovis West made some adjustments. They were defensively, they were all over the St. Joseph offense. Saw a few clips. St. Joseph could get nothing. J.J. Howard did a good job at quarterback. Saw a couple nice throws. The running game also was on point for the Golden Eagles. We're going to hear from Eric Brown actually after this break, so he'll have a lot more to cover about that game. And they'll be facing the Clovis Cougars. Imagine that. The 2-seed over the 7-seed, 27-25. Following that game, of course, it was 14-12 at halftime. Clovis went up 27-19. Frontier got a late touchdown. A lot of missed conversions and just some crazy, wacky stuff. And I promise we're going to bring in Tanvir Singh, who's producing the show that was at that game, and taking notes and taking it all in and texting us during the game about how wild of a game it was. So, Tanvir, is that just one of those types of games you can't stop thinking about all the different ways that game could have gone? You're thinking about it during the game on your way home and then maybe when you woke up this morning?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this was one hell of a game from both teams. I honestly think that if, you know, some conversions or some PATs went one way or the other, Frontier definitely could have capitalized and won this game. But Clovis found a way. Clovis has been playing really well throughout the entire season. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think they deserve the win with how they played.
And so, if my math is correct, and let me know if it is. So each team scored 4 touchdowns, but it was the conversions that mattered.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. You know, in the early part of this game, you saw the first quarter score end 14-12 in Clovis's favor. But on both of the touchdowns for Frontier, they had an excessive celebration penalty.
Oh, God.
And that is, well, one of them, it was a blocked PAT, but then the penalty was added onto the kickoff. But then the second PAT that they attempted was affected by the penalty, and therefore they had to kick further back and they missed the PAT. So that was the difference in this game.
All right, so offensively, how do you feel Clovis High did moving the football? I saw what Israel Briggs had a couple touchdowns. Caruso had one. I can't remember who had the other one. But offensively, how did Clovis High look?
Well, I think Clovis High looked really good. The first half, I thought they looked much better. They scored 21 points in the first half. But when they got out of the half, they only scored 6 in that third quarter. Didn't score anything in the fourth to try and separate themselves later on in that game. But in that first half, I thought Israel Briggs looked absolutely amazing. I was on the sideline, and I saw him catch his first touchdown, and he threw up his gloves in the U sign, indicating he's going to the University of Miami. And so that was pretty cool. But the biggest touchdown of this game, I thought, was the end of the half. Clovis had the football, and it was around the 25-yard line, I would say. And Deegan Rose just threw an absolute moon ball up to the corner of the end zone where you saw Israel Briggs bring down a tiptoe, an incredible toe-tap catch for the touchdown, giving them that 21-12 lead at the break. They kind of cooled off in the second half. I thought that Frontier's pressure really did get to them, and that is why Frontier was able to get back into this game. But overall, I still think this is a very dangerous offense with how they looked. And I would say that Carlos Young wasn't even involved, even though that he did get a touchdown in this game.
All right, so I teased this in my opener about was there some just strange calls? Was there a six-minute delay about where to spot the football? So strange things were afoot at La Monica Stadium last night.
Yeah, so it was pretty wild. It was on my side of the field when I was down there, so it was pretty close to me. Basically, what happened was it was a fourth and I would say about 4 for Clovis High in Frontier territory, and this is the first drive of the game. So the referees kind of have to set the tone in terms of what the game is going to be called like. But Frontier, it looked like they stopped James Caruso from gaining a first down. I thought it was a loss, even though I didn't have the best angle of it. But the referees then delegated for about 3 minutes, and they gave Clovis High the first down. But that sparked a lot of frustration from the Frontier sideline, and Frontier was able to get a reversal after another 3 minutes of delegation. And so that was a wild start to the game. But it was, that was pretty wild to start the game in the way that it did.
Well, that's crazy, too. To get a reversal, you don't see that too often. There's no instant replay. You can't challenge anything. So
for the referees
to make one spot and then have some complaints and then reverse it, like that's pretty wild to me. But in the end, Clovis High advances with that 27-25 win, avenging one of their only two losses on the season. One more thing really quick. How was the crowd? How was the ambiance? How was it being on the sidelines? Did it feel like almost like a championship game atmosphere?
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fans in attendance from obviously the Clovis High side because they were at home, but there was a lot of Frontier fans in the crowd as well, and so you really got a big balance, and especially in that first quarter where there was calls going both ways, you saw a lot of frustration from both fan bases. But as the game progressed, you saw a lot of emotion from both sides, you know, for the scores that were happening, and it was a very, very cool atmosphere to be a part of for this playoff game.
And last thing, actually, it did. I mean, there's still a little bit more drama, right? After Frontier closed the gap to 27-25, they still had the ball with what, under 2 minutes left, and a chance to try to take the lead.
Yeah, so here, I'll just go over what happened in this fourth quarter. So entering the fourth quarter, Clovis was actually leading 27-12, and it didn't really look like Frontier had any sort of momentum, but they were able to get a very good passing offense going in that fourth quarter. They were able to score their first touchdown, bring it to 27-19. They got another touchdown, made it 27-25, but they missed the two-point conversion with about 5 minutes left. And there, I thought Clovis High was going to be able to just run the football out with 5 minutes left, and they were almost able to. It was third down. Clovis High had the ball in Frontier territory, and Deegan Rose threw an interception on a play So Frontier had the opportunity to win this game with about 2 minutes left, but they went four and out. A false start penalty really hurt them on that last possession. And Clovis High's defense really stood tall with some good pressure on that fourth down play.
All right. Good stuff from you, as always. Thanks, Tamir. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Moving on. Division One Single A, Bullard and Sanger, a rematch from their CMAC game that saw Sanger come away with a 13-7 game. Well, heck, this was another one touchdown game. The Apaches advance with a 28-21 win over Bullard High School. They're going to face number one Bakersfield Christian, who is undefeated on the season, 10-0. Darren Carr is the head coach. David's still involved with that program as well. So Singer's going to travel down to Bakersfield next week in the semifinals. And Liberty of Bakersfield, what a mystery team those guys are. Started off the year horribly at 0-5. Well, they were up big at home against San Joaquin Memorial, the sixth seed. It was a 49-0 game at half, running clock, for sure in the fourth quarter. Don't know about the third quarter, but Memorial was able to put two touchdowns on the board to make it a 49-14 win. The Patriots will advance, and they're going to be traveling to Hanford next week. So how about this for the D1A semifinals? We got Bakersfield Christian and Sanger, 1-4. We have 3 Liberty traveling to number 2 Hanford. Great, great matchups. Excited about those games. All right, let's move on to Division Two. Man, I got to go through these quick right now. We got about 5 minutes to give you guys all these scores. So the game that we were able to cover, Dinuba and Kingsburg, the Vikings win 28-7. I'm going to be playing at Tulare Union. Garces defeated Tehachapi 34-10. Aurora Grande 62, Sunnyside 14. Phil Bonatti is really high on Aurora Grande. They beat St. Joseph about a month ago. So it's going to be Garces and Aurora Grande, a 5-4 game. Redwood had a bye. They're going to be facing San Luis Obispo, one of the quote-unquote upsets from last night. Not a whole lot, but San Luis Obispo was the 11 seed. They beat the 6 seed Lemoore 42-32. So it's Redwood and San Luis Obispo. Central Valley Christian, all they do is win playoff games. Coach Don Arax and his boys, the 7 seed, defeated Lompoc 37-13, and they're going to be traveling to face the Drillers from Bakersfield. So Central Valley Christian, 7 seed, is going to be facing number 2 Bakersfield. All right, let's hit the go back button. Let's go to Division 3. Division 3 Shafter, they actually had a tight one as the 1 seed against number 16 Mission Prep. 38-17 was that game. It was tight in the first half. From what I heard, don't hold me to this, but Marianne Sloan, the Division One running back headed to Boise State for Shafter, was not available in that game. So we'll check the status of him moving on. Are the Generals are going to be facing number 8 Washington Union? They defeated Justin Garza. Man, when those two teams get together, kind of like with Kerman as well, it's always a tight one. So 27-21, the Panthers defeat the Guardians. So Shafter against Washington Union. Number 5 Kennedy. The Thunderbirds, 63, Paso Robles, 28. They're going to be facing who? Well, Golden West, the 4 seed, who shut out Mission Oak 21-0, setting up a very, very intriguing matchup. Kennedy and their run-oriented offense against the spread offense of Golden West. That's going to be a great matchup. Man, if we weren't doing Clovis and Clovis West, we'd fight hard to go check that game out. Porterville, a lot of people think they are definitely a contender in D3, defeated Ridgeview 42-14. They're going to be facing Independence, who defeated Madera at home 34-27. That game was at 20s, and I think it was maybe tied at 27. Independence pulls away for a victory. Porterville Independence, Coach Kenny Palinelli. It's got a young team. Madera's going to be really good next year. They won a lot of games earlier in the year. CMAC found a little more tough, but that program is in really good shape. Kerman, of course they're going to win. It doesn't matter what seed they are. So 41-20, they defeated Tulare Western. Kerman was the 10 seed. They went on the road, took care of business. Adrian Torres threw 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers last night. That game was close, too, but at the beginning. But Kerman pulls away with a 21-point lead. And they're going to be facing Wasco, the two seed. This is a high-octane offense as well. They defeated Rigetti 57-6. So Kerman's going to be traveling to Wasco in Division III. Really, really fun bracket is Division III. All right, so let's move on to Division IV. Click off this ad here. Templeton had a bye, and they're going to be facing Kalinga. The number one team is Templeton. Kalinga defeated Menachi 30-15. The Horned Toads are the defending champs. That's going to be a really good game. Roosevelt shut out Exeter 20-0 north of Bakersfield. Had a bye, so Roosevelt is going to be traveling down south. That is a 5-4 game. McLean had a bye, and here's another upset. Good job by the Dos Palos Broncos with a 14-0 win over Santa Ynez on the road. So it's going to be McLean and Dos Palos at McLean Stadium next week in Division IV. Napomo defeated Atascadero in a good game, 35-34. That was a 7-10. And they're going to be traveling to Reedley to the Emmanuel Sports Complex to face Emmanuel, the two seed. So that's going to be a fun matchup. And in Division V, Liberty of Madera is going to be facing Morro Bay. That is a 1-9. Bishop Union and Cabrillo, both of them won. They're going to be matching up. West of Bakersfield is going to be facing Chowchilla, who came back and defeated Strathmore 36-33. Reedley defeated Sanger on Thursday. They're going to be facing number two, Woodlake, who beat Fowler 38-14. And one more bracket here really quick before we bring on Eric Brown from Clovis West. Minarets is going to take on Mendota, who defeated Lindsay. Kern Valley is going to be playing Boron. Foothill and Miramonte. And Orosi, who defeated Parlier, is going to be facing Fireball, who defeated Yosemite. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to bring on Coach Eric Brown of Clovis West. Talk about that great win against St. Joseph. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Don't worry, we're going to be breaking down all of those games next week with Gabe Camarillo at the top of the hour. So we'll have to spend plenty of time of getting to know those teams and talking about the great matchups from next week. Man, a lot of really, really good games. We got Coach Eric Brown on the line right now, head coach at Clovis West. Golden Eagles defeated St. Joseph last night, 28-7. Going to be taking on those Cougars again, one game away from playing in the D1 AA Finals. EB, how you doing this morning?
I am doing great, Paul. How are you?
Doing good. No soccer? You got the day off from soccer?
No. You know what? Soccer season's over. They end it right when we get into playoffs. So they're really smart about that. Make sure everyone's ready for the playoff matchups.
All right. That's awesome. So what grade would you give the overall soccer experience for the Brown family? Strong B+, A-, where you sitting?
I'll say it was probably an A-. We got to work on our composure after the games. We got a little bit upset. You know, if we didn't score a goal, or if, you know, maybe we had an own goal, which I get it. That's tough. You know, you score on yourself. That's probably something that will upset you. But if we can keep our composure, I think that would be an A to A+. Harper gave unbelievable effort all season long, but they can't be crying after every game.
You know, life experiences, right? Life lessons. And, you know, you never could start too young with the life lessons for the little ones.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and it was really good for her, just, like, running around and teamwork and team bonding and all that. And she got better every game. And shout out to Coach Jackson, who did a really good job with her. I gave him a hard time a lot of the time, but in the end, sometimes as a parent, you just got to step back and let the coaches coach.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. I could talk about that for 15 minutes. But you had a really good football game last night. You guys took care of business, the 3 seed. You guys defeated the 6 seed, St. Joseph. So just let's talk about the game plan. It's a coastal school. We followed them all year. How good are these guys really? So what was the game plan going against St. Joe's, and how did you guys execute, in your opinion?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It was a really hard breakdown as far as, you know, going off of film, because they end up with transfers a lot of the time. So the first 5 games they played, people that we were relatively familiar with, you know, with Hanford and Tulare Union. But then they have different players after five games with the sit rule. So then their league opponents, we don't know much about them, and some of them are in lower divisions. So it was really hard to tell on film. You could tell they had good players, but just, you know, what are they? What are they going to be against us? You know, when they're playing somebody that's equal or better talent than them, because you really didn't see much of that on film. So we kind of had to have a collective game plan and have some if-then scenarios. You know, so we wanted to go into it, and you have to run the ball in the playoffs for sure, and you have to play good defense. So that was the mindset going in. You know, and then the first half we struggled a little bit. We just missed opportunities, and you know, you and I talked about it last night. There was plenty of chances where we could have scored and gone up a decent number going into half, and we missed those opportunities. And we kept playing good defense all the way through, and then it was really impressive in the second half for our guys to. We talked at halftime. We want to finish each play in a physically dominant position, and our kids really took that to heart. And they were every single play they were moving forward and moving piles forward, and then defensively knocking piles backwards. So that part of it, I was really proud of our guys for responding.
How about performance wise? Who scored some touchdowns, and what were some important plays in last night's game?
So JJ really. He ended up taking the ball on a few zone reads, and that was all set up, though, by our running backs, starting with Major Lee running the ball really, really hard. Jacob Higgins running the ball really hard. And so you got to the fourth quarter, and J.J. was able to pull, I think he had three touchdowns on the ground in all. But, you know, that fourth quarter, we had the ball with 7 minutes left, and we were up 14, and we took 6 minutes off the clock and scored. Which, I mean, that's how you win football games. You put people away by running the ball. So I think JJ had a really strong performance. Andrew Garcia keeps stepping up and making plays. He's making plays as a receiver and a DB. This is kind of a coming out game for him as a receiver. And then defensively, you know, our linebackers, our two guys in the middle, they keep doing what they do. And then at corner, we didn't let him throw the ball, which was, for us really impressive because we've had our struggles at times on the outside. But Isaiah, so Prince, Dar Kyle, and Jacob Higgins playing corner, they were really competitive and did a good job. So it was a team win though. It was one of those that you had to do it right in all three phases in the second half. And like I said at the beginning, you got to be able to run the ball, and you got to be able to play defense.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that a little bit. So just kind of thinking about last night's game, even the Kingsburg-Dinuba game that we broadcasted last night, there are a lot of tight games, maybe even a one-score game or a tight game at halftime, and then one team would just pull away in the second half. I saw that a lot last night. And you mentioned running the football, especially in the second half, having those sustained drives. You kind of have to make some – I don't know if it's adjustments from the regular season play, league play, then to playoffs. It's a different animal. It gets a little bit colder during the playoffs and all that stuff. Are those factors? But, right, running the football and playing well in the second half, obviously those are huge keys in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, big time. And your best players have to play at their best. You know, we always say be at your best when your best is needed. You get into the playoffs. Your guys that are supposedly D1 or they have offers and things like that, they got to play up to that level.
Yeah.
And I go back to a few years ago, we were the best team in the Valley, and we faced a Memorial team that, in my opinion, we were better than. But Brandon Ramirez, I think was his name.
Yeah.
The kid that's playing at Fresno State, running back, he was just the best player on the field. And we couldn't tackle him. We couldn't get off the field on defense. And they just sustained drives. They held on to the ball. And we didn't score enough to outmatch them, you know. And that's really what it comes down to is those two factors, you know, playing defense and running the ball. And then your best players got to show up, and they got to be ready to go.
So next week, you're going to be facing those Cougars again here at First String Sports. You're not here on the phone, obviously, but we got a Clovis chair to my right. We got a Clovis West chair to my left. So we're already previewing.
There you go. Don't let them fight now. Keep those chairs set.
They are. They're away from each other. They got about a 6-foot difference. Okay. So we're in the clear. We're in the clear.
Yeah,
and
good.
Both are on the video. Okay. So, all right. So we're looking good over here.
There you go.
All right. So what? Big matchup, obviously. We're not going to get into all the little details, but I'm curious what you would like to see from your team next Friday as opposed to how you guys performed last Friday.
Yeah, you know, we didn't start fast, and I think that's a big deal for us because I think we've done a really good job in the second half all season long. If you look at our scores on Max Prep or whatever it may be, we're really playing good defense in the second half, and usually we're making good adjustments and scoring. But we got to be able to start fast and get a jump. And then just the energy, you know, the guys got to come out, and it's got to matter. It's got to mean something. We can't flinch. Like Coach Hill used to say all the time, like we got to go face up into it, and we can't flinch at all. We can't turn our face at all. We got to go face up, square it up. And I think having that confidence and composure as we jump into the game and, you know, just start fast and keep rolling. You know, we talked last night that we got to bring our own energy and we got to jump right off the bus ready to play.
And you're going against Deegan Rose, who's a high-level quarterback. Obviously, you're not going to give away any game plan here on air, but how do you get a guy like that off his spots and make him uncomfortable? I saw a little bit of that, you know, in your game last week, what you're trying to do to him and disrupt him. But, I mean, when you got going against a guy like that, what are you hoping to do on defense?
I think it's always, just like you said, you got to make the quarterback uncomfortable. And there's many ways to do that, whether you disguise or you pressure or you drop multiple people. That guy can't sit back and feel good about what he's doing. So I say it all the time, we're not really playing the coordinator, we're playing the kid, you know, the 17-year-old or 18-year-old quarterback. That's, in the end, that's what we got to make sure we're making that guy uncomfortable as much as we can.
I'm also curious how you guys have framed losing one of your top players. Right, R.J. Jefferson goes out with an injury. He was an absolute dude. He was a number one target for J.J. Howard. But the team has really rallied around. And Dom Tafoya has stepped up as well. See him every week making highlight-type plays. Just a steady player. So, like, what about the mentality of the team? How are you guys able to frame it? How have the kids rallied around not having R.J.?
It's a really hard one. You lose maybe the best player in the Valley, for sure one of the best players in the Valley. You lose J.J.'s favorite target. It has been hard, for sure. But we sit there in a room and we talk all the time. We've got the best team in the Valley, and we feel very confident in the guys that are going to step up. And if you have a next man in mentality, you just go and you play, and you hope that if you play the right way and long enough and hard enough, you might get a chance to get that dude back. And I think the guys are really rallying around that. But you said Dom Tafoya, he's done a really good job stepping in. Juju Sanders is a really good player. He's made more plays since RJ's been down. And then Amir Wright, as a freshman, yeah, one of the best young guys for sure in the Valley. And, you know, some of that is, you lose RJ, and now you find out that these guys can and are willing and are able. And I think the ball's been spread out a little bit more with him down. Not that we're better without him, absolutely not. But I think it's making JJ a better player. I think it's making those receivers step up and, you know, kind of find themselves in the offense, which has been really cool to see.
That's great. All right, we got another minute here with Coach Eric Brown. He's going to be taking on Clovis High.
We always run out of time, Paul.
Dude, How are we going to fix this? How about this?
I'm going to just come in for the full 4 hours one of these times.
And just sit here. You could be my co-host one of these times, right? We just break everything down together. I know. You're a football junkie. You got a lot of stories, too. Yeah. All right, I got one more question for you. You got to talk about your guy, Titus Kajabi, who made that pick against Boise on that bleeping blue turf. How cool was that?
Oh, that was awesome, especially against that team that, you know, I got a lot of respect for, but a lot of, you know, I'm a Bulldog, so a lot of hatred for the blue turf, and that was so cool for him to make that play, and, you know, he credited the coaches and credited his teammates and all that. It's really cool to see him step into his own and start making plays.
All right, next time, did you tease him a little bit? Say, you got to stay on your feet there, brother. Come on.
You know what? If I talked to him, I would. We're so busy, both.
Yeah, you got it.
We kind of both get it. We'll catch up at the end of the season for sure. But I'm going to give him a hard time.
All right.
I always say either go score or get it to somebody who can score.
And don't throw it away. Don't flip it and put it on the ground either if you're trying to do too much.
No doubt.
No doubt. All right. No doubt. All right. Good stuff. Hey, thanks for jumping on. I appreciate it, man. You know, that's a good idea. If we're rolling back next year, let's do like a whole episode where it's just you and I. We're just talking shop here. Let's do it.
Yep. You know I'm down, Paul.
I know you are. All right. So good luck next week. I'm sure we'll chat this week as well. And, hey, enjoy your soccer-less Saturday as well, my friend.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Paul. Thanks for everything you do.
Absolutely. All right. Eric Brown, we're going to take a break here. We got Gabe Camarillo here at First String Sports. We're going to be talking about all these games, man. We're going to chop it up with Gabe. Excited about that. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Your host, Paul Metters.
All right. Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. And, gosh, what a great day to have a show where, right, everything is fresh from last night's football games. Coaches are willing to talk. Obviously, the winning coaches, right? Their season is still going on. So, good conversation with Coach Eric Brown. Clovis West is going to be facing Clovis in the D1AA semifinals. And once again, thanks to First String Sports for being so supportive of the wonderful student-athletes in the Central Section. I see, what, one, two, three, four. I see four different Letterman's jackets on the table right now. Getting fitted, getting the patches put on. And, of course, they got a lot more here. They got hats, right, on the back wall, tons of hats from Central Valley schools. Got football equipment, basketball equipment, all that good stuff. So thanks to First String Sports. If you want to go back and listen to any parts of the show, go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Boom, Central Valley Sports Report is there. Behind the Bench, Phil Bonatti's great show as well. The Bulldog Hour, Tony D, the trusted voice of Tony D as well. All right, we got Gabe Camarillo. I promised you guys we're going to be breaking down some games from last night, previewing the games next week. And Gabe does a wonderful job for Fox 26, KMPH. Where he is just about everywhere. Gabe travels around with the camera in hand and tries to hit as many events as possible. So, Gabe, Saturdays are fun to reflect on the games, right? But there's nothing like being at games and watching the action. And you were at a couple last night, right?
I went to Orosi High School for the first time as a football watcher. I've been there before for a speech and debate tournament, actually. Weird place to have a speech and debate tournament. They had a great speech and debate program when I was at Edison, so it was actually a fun tournament. But this was better. The football was good. Parlier, they actually came out swinging after Orosi scored. They got a kickoff return touchdown. Little did I know, that would be the fourth I watched last night. Four kickoff return touchdowns that we had on Fox 26 last night. Crazy. I guess it's just the playoff atmosphere that makes these kids go a little extra hard.
They waited for you to have the camera shine on them, and then they take it to the house. Right?
Actually,
big moment for them.
Technically, they didn't wait for me because I was getting video of Orosi's band. And as I was getting video of Orosi's band, all of a sudden, Parlier takes it back the other way. And
okay.
I got the second half of Parlier's kickoff return touchdown.
All right.
Not all the time did they wait for me to get the camera going, but
all right.
Yeah, I would say definitely expect the unexpected moving forward with these playoffs.
All right, so Orosi, Parlier, and where else?
I went to Dinuba.
Oh, so we were at the same place. I didn't see you down there.
I honestly, I try to stay hidden. Okay. I don't want anyone to know I'm there. No, I'm just kidding.
Did you hear the motorcycles, though?
We'll talk
about the Green Mile for Dinuba High.
I heard that Dinuba's motorcycles came a little late.
They were. They had a police escort behind us. I was all pumping up the Green Mile to fill, and then they come behind me. Like, the first quarter had already started, and then they finally looped around.
They thought it was a 7:30 kickoff.
Okay. There's our answer. All right. But they were there. They were there. They eventually made it.
And they were there for the Dinuba touchdown. But when I got there, Kingsburg just scored. I love that brother connection that the Vikings have going on. Cade Holt to Cooper Holt. They're brothers, right?
They're brothers.
Okay,
so 1 year apart.
I would have got that wrong on TV.
No, you got it. You're good.
Know they're cousins.
No, you're
but
good.
Then all of a sudden, it's like Kingsburg fumbles, Dinuba punts. Kingsburg fumbles again, Dinuba scores, and it's like, can Kingsburg get out of its own way on special teams? Oh, wait, let them just return a kickoff or a touchdown from Justin Engelbright, right? Right when they needed it. Special teams hurts them, then special teams saves them and ends up sparking a win.
We'll be talking with Dave Wilson about that game. All right, so just – kind of your overview. I know you're fast and furious. You got the lead foot last night trying to go to all these games and then get back to the studio. Any surprises? What I think we counted just kind of off the top of our head, just a few 11s. What, 1-11 over 6 and a couple 10s over 7s. But for the most part, everything went to chalk, right? So no real surprises last night.
Yeah, I knew that Lemoore had a tough game against San Luis Obispo because – I don't know. I have a lot of respect for the Coast schools, especially teams in that Division II bracket, like an Arroyo Grande. I think they're going to be, as a 5 seed, they're going to be tough to contend with, either between Garces Memorial or with the number 1 seed, Tulare. But I knew that San Luis Obispo had a good chance at winning that game. They beat them 42-32. I honestly was surprised by how much CVC beat Lompoc by. I mean, CVC, I know they had that co-championship in the Tri-County Conference, but 37-13, is that a sign of how battle-tested CVC is going through their tough non-conference and then being rewarded with a Lompoc team that didn't face the track in their schedule?
Well, that non-league schedule was absolutely crazy, right, for CVC.
Yeah.
You know, they did get blown out by Emmanuel, but we've learned, Gabe, right? Never count out a Don Arak's coach team.
Yeah. No, I guess not.
And they've been to 7 straight CVC, obviously under Coach Mason Hughes and Coach Arak's last year, they've been to 7 straight Central Section Championship games.
Well, they have 7 to be Bakersfoot High to make it 8.
Correct.
Which is
correct.
Not going to be easy. But and then the other 7-10 upsets. I mentioned the Coast schools. I have a lot of respect for them. I don't underestimate them at all. Dos Palos upsetting
Santa
Ynez was kind of surprising. I didn't expect the Dos Palos defense to shut them out. But, again, because of that respect, I think that's a huge win for Dos Palos, and that sets them up nicely for a big matchup against McLean.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think, can Dos Palos' defense replicate that against Vernon Lacey? I'm not so sure. Can they bottle up Demetrius Simon? I don't think so. But, I mean, playoffs can surprise you. I was surprised that Kerman beat Western by 21. I know that Western lost their starting quarterback halfway through that game, and that really limited their offense. But, I mean, the quarterback doesn't play defense, and Kerman threw for 5 touchdown passes. Adrian Torres was finding different targets. So I think the Kerman Lions, they have another.
They have playoff magic every year.
They do. Every year they win on the road. But can they do that against Wasco?
Mm.
I don't know, because Wasco has one of the best running backs in the section with Hammy Lopez. So Kerman's going to have to stop the run. And I think besides that, nothing else really surprised me.
All right, let's go division by division, Gabe, and let's talk about the matchups, how we think the games might play out. All right, let's just start at the top. 1AA, Central East, the Bengals against number 4 Buchanan. Those teams just played last Thursday, right? Where
yeah.
Buchanan held a 28-20 lead, and like Central East has been doing lately, they turn it out. They turn it up a notch in the second half. How do you see that game playing out?
Central East probably going to turn it up in the second half. I don't know why they can't get that going from the first half, though. Save us some of the anxiety, because when I see it's 21-21 at halftime, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, like, is Central East going to lose? Like, I was telling everybody the Bengals are my pick to win Division I AA, and they're going to go out in the first round? No, no, no. The Bengals end up scoring, what is that, 5 touchdowns in the second half?
Yeah, 4.
4 touchdowns in the second half. And so now they go against Buchanan, who – I'm looking at their roster right now, sophomore quarterback, junior receiver, junior running back, 2 junior running backs, actually, a bunch of juniors on defense. that has, to me, the sign of a growing team. And we saw them grow from that first week, that loss to Bakersfield on the field. Now it's a win forfeit-wise. But from that first week to the past game, I watched them play against Clovis North, entirely different teams. They run the football physically. You know what they're going to do. They're going to lean on the run to open up the play-action pass. And they had that working against Clovis North. North had a chance to go ahead at the 10-yard line. Buchanan jumps on a fumble. That defense very opportunistic. And it set up an 87-yard touchdown run for Gannon Sever. And that was all she wrote. Buchanan ended up winning 32-14. I like the Buchanan Bears in this game as a frisky pick. Like, they're going to keep Central East on their toes for four quarters, just like they did two Thursdays ago in that matchup where I think Buchanan had the lead at some point in the second half. So, I mean, you were at that game. You could tell me more about it.
Well, I mean, it was 28-20 at half, right?
At half,
and
okay.
Yeah, and, you know, Central East does what they do. It was actually five touchdowns after half in last night's game. So, and I heard Grant Mosier. I wasn't able to go to that Thursday game. I heard he was a dude in that game for Buchanan against Clovis North.
Mossed a guy for a touchdown.
He's big. He's like 6'4". He's a tall dude. All right. So what are you concerned, though? So let's say there is a little bit of a concern for Central East, right? You know, down at, you know, tied at halftime in the last couple of games, or down by a touchdown. Do you have a little bit of concern about them? Are they going to – it's not – they're not necessarily steamrolling. It's just in the second half, though.
They play a lot of guys both ways, and that's probably going to lead to some fatigue on defense when you got stars like E.J. Morgan, and there's some up-and-comers that are coming up. Kevin Cooks, Titus Thomas.
Oh, a couple sophomores.
A couple sophomores are turning our heads, but they play both ways, too. This is – you know, the thing about Central East – last year and the last few years since they split up into Garza and now Central West, right, the numbers have been down a little bit. They play a lot of guys on both sides of the football. And so that does, I think, lend to some of the struggles on defense at times. I mean, they gave up 39 to Clovis West. I don't have it in front of me.
49 to Clovis.
49 to Clovis, and they gave up to Buchanan 38. Or, yeah, 38. So it's – I feel like – Buchanan's going to score. That's why I like him as a frisky pick. I'm not picking them to win. Let me make that very clear. I'm not picking against Kyle Biggs at home in the playoffs. No, sir. But Buchanan, I like them in the fourth quarter to be within a touchdown or maybe even have the game tied. I don't think the Bears are getting enough respect from a lot of people. But next year, when they return everyone, they definitely will have everyone's attention.
All right, let's move down. So the other semifinal, Clovis West and Clovis. Here we are again. Good talk with Eric Brown. Yeah, I would not be surprised if Clovis West wins this football game. Right? Not surprised. Right? Should Clovis win? Should they win? Probably.
Clovis has been more talented than everyone on their schedule except Central East. But the problem with Clovis, I think, and that's probably why you're leaning towards Clovis West, they play with their food too much. They don't put it away. They let the food sit for like a day, and then it gets all moldy, and it's like, oh, we can't eat this anymore. And then sometimes that can lead to a loss. Like, they almost lost to Los Gatos because they were up by multiple scores, and Los Gatos ended up making it a one-point game, 41-40, and Clovis barely holds on. And that reminded me so much of last night's game against Frontier, where they were up by 15, 27-12 entering the fourth quarter. And they turn the ball over, and they can't get stops on defense. And Frontier has the football with a chance to win it.
Yep.
And thankfully, Clovis' defense stops them, or else we'd have an entirely different conversation. So, Frontier's a good team. I think they earned a lot of respect last night because they almost beat the number two seed. But I think Clovis West is significantly better than Frontier. And then you have an offense geared around an outstanding quarterback in J.J. Howard, who isn't fazed by the bright lights. I mean, last night we saw tied at 7 against St. Joe's. I saw it on Instagram. Howard makes a few nifty cuts to go for a 50-plus yard touchdown run. He can make plays with his arm, too. He's a playmaker. And so can Clovis's defense bottle that up for four quarters? I'm sure they can do it for two quarters, maybe even three quarters, but they haven't proven yet that the Clovis High football team is a four-quarter team. And I think Aaron Wilkins will be the first to tell you that.
I agree, Gabe. And Coach Eric Brown said it best. He's like, hey, in the playoffs, you got to finish plays, you got to finish drives, you got to finish quarters, all that stuff. And right, you let a team hang around, and all of a sudden you're like, geez, we could lose this football game. So, right, playoffs are a different beast. The ball could bounce a different way. We saw that in last year's Central Grizzlies win over Clovis East, right? The ball bounces different in the playoffs. You know, a play that you usually got in the regular season just doesn't work out in the playoffs. You got to make some adjustments. So all those things are factors in a big-time playoff game. So we're excited for that. We're going to be broadcasting Clovis West and Clovis. Top four teams, all track teams. So a track team for the second year in a row is going to win a Division I AA Central Section Championship. All right, so the weird-looking division, right, as I like to call it, because of those two byes and only six teams in the one, the single-A bracket. We got Bakersfield Christian and Sanger and Liberty of Bakersfield and Hanford. Hanford liked their spot, obviously, getting that bye, and the 2-seed, they're going to have a home game. Liberty's playing some good football down in Bakersfield right now after just looking dead in the water for the first 4 or 5 weeks. Got any intel on – let's go with Bakersfield Christian and Sanger, though. Any intel on that? I know it's going to be tough sledding for those Apaches because BCSH is a good team.
Yeah, I saw them once this year against Tulare, and what I noticed in that game was just how much athletic talent Bakersfield Christian has. They have – a lot of different playmakers, Michael Smith being one of the big names on that team. And then on defense, they stopped Tulare at the one-yard line twice, kept them with no points on fourth and goal twice. So I know they have some meat up front, and that's huge if you're going to go against the Sanger Apaches, who rushed for quite a few yards. Kendall McGrew had 122 on 27 carries and a touchdown, or actually a few touchdowns last night against Bullard in that comeback win for the Apaches. I mean, Sanger needed a second-half comeback to beat Bullard Knights. I think Bakersfield Christian is significantly better than Bullard. I think Bakersfield Christian could have easily been in D1AA instead of St. Joseph. I think they would have probably given Clovis West a tougher game, and that's just how good the Eagles are. So I am going to go against the grain here and make a pick on a Saturday for the following Friday. I'm going to go Bakersfield Christian, and maybe that's to inspire some of Sanger Apaches over there and get them fired up, and maybe they could pull off the upset and prove me wrong.
Well, what Sanger is going to have to do is they're going to have to control the football, right?
Yeah.
Keep Bakersfield Christian offense off the field, hope for a turnover or two, play good field position. So, yeah, interesting matchup between those two teams. Liberty of Bakersfield and Hanford. A little bit concerned for Hanford in this one, or you think those young pups can do it?
Doesn't matter how down Liberty is, they're still Liberty. You know, I mean, we're talking about LSU being down, firing their coach, having one of their toughest seasons ever. It's LSU, man. Come on. Like, this is Liberty Bakersfield. Them being in D1A and playing Hanford. I mean, Hanford thought that they could get away from all those track schools. They don't have to play Clovis this year in the playoffs like last year. They don't got to go to Clovis West. They don't got to play Central East. No, instead, you get to be home against the Liberty Patriots. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Give them a break. Liberty runs the football well. They always do. Hanford is an explosive team. I think that's how Hanford can have a chance in this game. If they can get some big plays, get an early lead on Liberty, and force Liberty to throw the football. I'm sorry, I can't talk to
you. Well, no, I mean, you know, remember, you know, Coach Kenneth Sanchez, he knows what type of a team he has. Not as explosive as the 10-0 team last year. Remember those trick plays that they did against Tulare, right? It came out with, like, I think three or four, just kind of, you know, a motion throwback to the quarterback kind of stuff. So maybe he's going to have that in his bag of trips.
Yeah.
But home game, that's big for the Bullpups next week. All right, so let's go to D2. Tulare Union and Kingsburg. Had eyeballs on Kingsburg last night. Tell you what, the number 55 is a dude for the Vikings. The defensive line looks really good, but can they dial up enough pressure to get Jordan Crisp off his mark? And can they keep up defensively with those talented wide receivers? That's the main question.
I think that's going to be tough for a lot of defenses in this bracket. I don't really see a team that can keep Tulare under 30 points in this bracket, honestly. And that's maybe a hot take, but come on, look at Tulare's schedule. The only team to hold him under 30 this year was Bakersfield Christian.
Yeah.
And we just talked about how good they were. And so I don't know. If Kingsburg can hold Tulare under 30, they have a chance. Or else Kingsburg's going to have to go score for score with the Union Tribe to win this game.
All right. Garces and Aurora Grande. Phil Benatti is all over Aurora Grande.
Me too. I'm
okay, why? Tell me.
Well, they got a huge O-line. They played a good schedule. I don't know. I like them in that Garces game. I know Garces has also had some impressive results. They were in the games against Bakersfield Christian and Bakersfield. But I don't know. They also have no fear. They beat Clovis West last year in the D1A playoffs. So a lot of those guys returned from that team. They're not going to be fazed by any opponent.
All right. Redwood and San Luis Obispo, that's one of the quote-unquote upsets from last night. SLO defeated Lemoore on the road 42-32. So Redwood, they're kind of a sexy pick to win the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, they played well against Union. They beat Hanford earlier this year. I think they can't look ahead, though. They might be looking ahead to CBC or Bakersfield. First of all, I know they'd love to play CBC. They would just love for a second Visalia championship. They beat Golden West in the first one. Now they want to play CBC. But they can't look ahead of San Luis Obispo. San Luis Obispo scored 42 on Lemoore last night. That says a lot about their offense, and Redwood prides itself on defense, so we'll see which one gives in this game at the Mineral King Bowl on Friday.
All right, so the winner of that one is going to get the winner of Central Valley Christian and Bakersfield, the Drillers. A lot of people thought that they were going to get bumped up into the one Division I single A bracket, but there they are as the two seed. Thoughts about that one?
Yeah, it's weird to see this matchup, obviously.
Right?
Central Valley Christian, historically, D4, right? Well, D5?
D4 to D3 to D2. That's kind of been their MO. And Bryson Donaldson helped a little bit, right, a few years ago.
And Bakersfield went from D1 to D2. So that's how they meet, I guess. Yeah. But Bakersfield's not a D2 team. I really think they should have been somewhere in the Division I brackets, 1AA, 1A. Central Valley Christian, I guess they're used to playing Division I schools, right? They play Clovis. They played Clovis North. They played Bakersfield Christian. So I don't think their eyes will be wide open seeing the Bakersfield Drillers, but I think the Drillers just have more talent on paper. They should win this game. CVC has a great coach, though, so I'm sure that this is going to be closer than people think.
Do you want to make a prediction who you think is going to win this entire bracket? I think you've talked to the coaches at Tulare Union. You know last year how disappointed they were by not getting to a Central Section championship game. Like, do you think they got enough juice to win it? I think they got enough juice, right?
I don't know. I'm really high on Arroyo Grande. Like, they beat St. Joseph 30-7. How do you beat a D1AA team by 23 points? Yeah. You're in Division II.
That'd be right. I mean, if we look ahead a little bit, if Tulare Union and Arroyo Grande meet in the semifinals.
That's tough.
Right?
For Tulare. I think, I mean, you look at Arroyo Grande and they have a complete team, like I said. They have a good O-line. They got good defense. So we'll see how Tulare does if they move past Kingsburg. Don't look past the Vikings.
Right? And you got to be able to run the football in the playoffs, take chunks off of the clock and to frustrate the other teams and all that stuff. All right. Let's go D3 action, Gabe. Shafter Washington Union. A little concern for Shafter, right? They might be down one of their star players, but Union, they got some athletes as well.
Yeah, Washington Union relied on those athletes last night. Got a big kickoff return for a touchdown from Jarrell Albert for the Panthers, and that made it 27-7 over Garza. Garza had a little bit of a fight in the fourth quarter. 27-21 was the final score. I don't know. I feel like Shafter, they've been there before. I mean, this is what, the fourth year that they've made it potentially to the semis or better. Their quarterback's freshman year, they won it all against Brothers. Easy Osborne.
Yep.
They lose as his sophomore year to Torres in that crazy weird game. I'm still not sure.
Don't get me started on that game. You know where I stand on that.
Then his junior year last year, they lose to Kalinga on a last-second touchdown pass. So, this is their fourth year. This is the first time, though, that they've been in Division III. Washington Union might welcome them to Division III now with some explosive plays. Union might take an early lead. But I like Shafter as the home team here. Now, it does get tougher after that because I'm looking on the other side of the bracket.
God, look at that matchup.
Kennedy and
Tasty.
Golden West.
Tasty.
I think Golden West is in trouble here. Kennedy with that wing T. I mean, Redwood had a very similar formula last month. I don't know if you were at that game. We had that game on TV, and Redwood just ran the football whenever they wanted. Golden West couldn't play from behind. Golden West lost by 2 scores. I think Kennedy can follow that same script to victory, and they're not going to be scared of Shafter. They play him every year.
No, I agree. So Kennedy and Golden West, one of the things, Gabe, when you're playing against a team that, right, you're not used to that style of offense that Kennedy runs, possessions can be limited, right? And when you're a high-octane offense, we're used to scoring, you know, 7, 8 touchdowns a game, you can get frustrated on the sidelines. Like, heck, we haven't seen the ball in 6 or 7 minutes, and it's and we're actually down. We got to hurry up and score. And you know, when the ball doesn't bounce your ways, when the completions aren't there, you get a little frustrated, and then you could get down. So, yeah, I don't know, man. That is a great matchup.
I'm going to go on a limb. Go. I think Kennedy makes it to the Division III championship.
To the championship all the way.
I think they,
as a 5-seed.
As a 5-seed. They were the 5-seed when they won it a few years ago, and I can see them beating Golden West because of that formula of getting up early and running the football, and then they can beat Shafter because they were close with Shafter when Shafter had Marion Sloan, and now without Marion Sloan, I think Shafter might be a few touchdowns worse than they were a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. We'll see how they do against Union. They could shut me up right now and beat Union soundly, and I'll have to reevaluate my decisions.
Well, that's a fun top of Division III up there. All right, so Porterville and Independence. I've just heard a lot about Porterville. They put up 42 against Ridgeview. Independence had a little bit of a tough time with Madera. I like Porterville in this one. A lot of people talk very highly of that offense. A lot of people think that they might go all the way to the championship game, too.
Yeah, Madera had a touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, but Paul Gola's troops scored twice in the fourth quarter to take that game at home, and then they have to go on the road to Porterville. Yeah, they have a senior quarterback, too, that doesn't get enough love, Ethan Enriquez, and I feel like he's fired up because everyone's talking about Golden West and their offense. Porterville outgunned Golden West offense. They beat Golden West straight up, so I think Porterville is another trendy pick. Especially because last year, their season ended in heartbreak. Kerman hit a game-winning field goal in overtime. And guess who they could still meet up with in a semifinal rematch from last year?
Well, there it is, bottom of the bracket, number 10, Kerman. Never count out those Lions taking on a really good Wasco team as the 2-seed. How are you seeing that one going?
I thought Wasco might have a letdown. They lost a rivalry game. No, yep. They beat Rigetti 57-6. Wow. And then they have to... Then they play Kerman. And so the Lions, we just mentioned them a few minutes ago, they have a great quarterback. They beat Western on the road, but Wasco, actually Western beat Wasco earlier this year. So maybe that tells you something about where Kerman stands.
Early in the year, right? That's one of the key phrases. Playoffs are different. And how about that Shafter, Wasco, and Kennedy, right? The South Sequoia League.
Yeah.
All three of those teams are really, really good this year. Division IV. We still don't know anything about Templeton. At least I don't. I know they run the football 10-0 on the season. Going to be facing defending champ Kalinga. Then you got Roosevelt. I know Trevor Horn down in Bakersfield is really pumping up north. They got a study. He's like, this guy, he can run the football. He can catch it out of the backfield. He's a punter. He's a kicker. He does everything. So Roosevelt's going to be traveling down to Bakersfield. How do you see the top four in Division IV going? Or the top bracket, I should say.
Of all the number one seeds in the playoffs, I think Templeton is the most in danger.
Correct.
Because there's two other undefeated teams in that bracket, along with Templeton, in McLean and Emmanuel. But even in this game, they're hosting the defending D4 champion, Kalinga Horntoads, who just beat Menachie 30-15. I'm going to go with Kalinga pulling off the upset. I know Templeton... Their best win is probably the forfeit win over Edison High School of Fresno, honestly. And so Kalinga, obviously, more battle-tested. I'm going to go with the Horntoads in the 8-1 upset. Roosevelt, I feel like they deserve the bye in the home game here. I don't know why North got it over them. Maybe it's because they won their league. But I think Roosevelt, another team that I'm really high on, they showed that they can win a different way last night when they shut out Exeter. They usually outscore opponents with their outstanding running back Iha Sadani, but the Rough Riders went the defensive route last night. They can have a great chance to win at North. All respect to Trevor Horn, I'm sure the North Stars are great, but the Roosevelt Rough Riders are also a great team too, so that's going to be a fantastic matchup. But McLean against Dos Palos?
Well, I mean, I think we're on a collision course though, let's be honest, with Emmanuel and McLean. Tons of storylines that those two teams meet. If Manor gets by Napomo, McLean, right?
McLean can't overlook Dos Palos, though.
All right. Let me just throw a couple stats out there for you. So I did it last night. Before last night's, McLean didn't play. Before I checked Max Preps, Lacey, the quarterback for McLean, 44 touchdowns on the year, 0 interceptions.
All right.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
I've never seen anything like that.
In all my years watching high school sports, I've never seen a 44-0 touchdown interception ratio. That's wild.
I don't know. Something about Dos Palos.
Really?
I really. I don't know what it is. McLean's played so well this year. Like, I have no reason to doubt them, right? But the way that Dos Palos went multiple hours away to Santa Ynez, literally the furthest school from our Central Valley area, Santa Ynez, and shut him out 14-0. Like, that just screams playoff football victory. Like, they can win with running the football, defense, line of scrimmage play. I think that's where McLean can lose a game, is if they play against a better line of scrimmage, an offensive and defensive line. And Emmanuel has that for sure. I think Emmanuel has a great chance at advancing to the championship, especially because they would host McLean in a potential semifinal. And I know Nipomo needed two overtimes to beat Atascadero. They're going to be gassed having to go against Emmanuel running the football 40-plus times on Friday. So I think that definitely easier for Emmanuel to advance than McLean. How about we say that?
Maybe. I'm just impressed with McLean all year. I know they have not been in competitive games. Let's be honest, their non-league schedule is really weak. But I think McLean is definitely out of
misery.
But they're playing at home.
Andre Flores, remember the name for Dos Palos. I know Pancotti knows it. Andre Flores, he is a workhorse. And it works because he plays for the Broncos.
All right. Let's move on.
Dos Palos Broncos.
D5. I got a fun question, too, Gabe. I know we are spending a lot of time breaking down these games, but I got a fun question for you at the end. And you kind of answered it with Templeton. All right, Liberty and Morro Bay. Liberty looks absolutely amazing right now. But Morro Bay with a, 30-point win on the road. They got that stud quarterback, Robert Doherty's son, throws for tons of yards. So that's going to be a fun matchup. Cabrillo and Bishop Union. Chowchilla came back in that game, I believe. We were watching that one against Strathmore. So Strathmore, we're not used to them getting beaten the first round of the playoffs.
They're not used to D5. They're Division 6,
right? Good point. It's a good point. Yeah, Chowchilla and West of Bakersfield. And then Reedley, how about them Pirates defeating Sanger West on a Thursday game? Number 2, Woodlake, has had a really strong season. Any thoughts about those four games next week?
I like Woodlake in that game against Reedley. I know Will Bacon for Reedley has been one of the unsung quarterbacks. He makes plays, man. And I think he could inspire an upset, but I think Woodlake also has an inspiring quarterback in Aldo Rodriguez, another dual-threat guy who leans on his weapons. He's not much of a me guy. He's a we guy. So I think Woodlake should be a fun team to watch in that bottom half of the bracket as the 2-seed.
All right, Division 6, Minarets and Mendota. We got Kern Valley and Boron, Miramonte and Foothill, and Fireball and Orosi, a game that you were at, the Orosi and Parlier game for a little bit. Minarets, I had Coach Shannon Pulliam on the show last week. He just talked about how much more mature this year's team is from last year's. You know, they were a top seed and lost in the semifinals to that Miramonte team. So I think this is Miramonte's bracket to lose. That's the way I'm framing it.
Wow. Miramonte?
Sorry, Minarets, sorry.
Okay, there we go. Minarets.
Something with an M.
Well, I think it's another M that might ruin the party. Mendota. That's the 8 seed.
I know, they're tough.
They beat the reigning D6 champion, Lindsay, last night. And they did it convincingly, I think, with a great fourth quarter performance. I think Mendota and Minarets could be for who makes it to the championship. Not to overlook Kern Valley and Boron, but I think whoever wins that tough 1-8 matchup, I don't think this is an 8 seed in Mendota. I think they could easily have been a little bit higher, and I think it's going to be up to Torin Wolf for Minarets to make some plays and put Minarets ahead in this game and force Mendota to play outside of their scheme of running the football.
All right. We got a couple minutes here, Gabe. You kind of answered it with that Templeton question or that Templeton comment that you made. Out of those six top seeds, which team like you think has the best percentage to win, and which of those do you think might be knocked out before the championship game? All the number one seeds. I think we could do it off the top of our head, right?
I think Templeton is probably the top of my list. I like Liberty Madera too much.
I know. I agree.
I should have mentioned them more in D5. I think it's them and Woodlake in the championship. And when you have two stud running backs like Liberty Madera has with Ethan Dunn and Sebastian Graham, it just helps you a lot.
Sure.
Like, we've seen that in a lot of teams. When you have two guys who can tote the rock and punish defenses, that's good. Division 3, the number one seed, I think is also in trouble. They're probably, after Templeton, my pick to lose next, just because they're down their stud running back. But I don't know. I just like everyone else.
Who's down their stud running back?
Shafter.
Shafter, got it. Yeah.
Did I say Central East?
Yeah. No, I think you're fine.
Okay.
Shafter.
Central East has their stud running back.
He's
actually the reason they're going to win at all, I think. Brandon Smith. I think he's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's an all-state player to me, right?
Yes.
He's an all-state player. He does it all. Actually didn't rush for a touchdown in last night's win. But, yeah, so he's a dude. So, all right, how about Division 2? Like, Tulare, where do you kind of put them as far as percentage-wise, is winning the whole thing. You like their chances more than not?
I like their chances more than not. I think Kingsburg is going to struggle just with the athleticism. That's something I saw a few years ago when they played each other. I think it might have been in the playoffs, too. It definitely was in the regular season. We had that game on ESPN Radio. And that's back when Tulare's guys were young. They were sophomores. Now they're seniors. And so I think Tulare probably safe. That Arroyo Grande game could be a trap game because they might be looking ahead to Bakersfield or Redwood in the semifinal. I think I see all home teams advancing in Division II this week, and then we'll see how good Tulare really is and how good Redwood is, because you said that they're your pick to be there in the Division II final as well.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Yeah, and I think in D3, you mentioned the Kennedy, the Shafters, the Wasco, the Portervilles. My gosh, right? I would not be shocked if any one of those four teams won that Division III stuff.
Division III and Division IV are insanely competitive.
Love
both those brackets.
Love it. Hey, let's just call this segment 35 Minutes with Gabe Camarillo, right? And we're talking fast, too.
I think we were. Yeah, I was trying to make sure David Wilson had some time to tell you about his team.
That's right.
Right after I just said Tulare's going to beat him, now you're going to talk to him.
Dave's got 3 minutes and 22 seconds to talk about his team. All right, hey, good stuff as always, Gabe, man. Love chatting it up with you. You do an amazing job, so thanks for everything that you do, and thanks for coming on live here at First Stream Sports and breaking this down the best we can.
Hey, ESPN National talks about the NFL, but ESPN Fresno talks about high school football.
And I'm gonna give our station some props, right? You hear about the SoCal and NorCal. I follow a lot of media members and different accounts on Twitter and social media. Nobody does it like 1430 ESPN.
Yeah.
Nobody has a radio show and broadcast games as consistently as us in the state of California, right? Straight from Ryan Toss. Ryan Toss said that last year at our award ceremony. So, hey, you're a big part of getting the kids' names out there and breaking down and talking about all the good stuff in the central section.
Trying to get people fired up to go to some of these games. You want to see how good Tulare is? Go watch them against Kingsburg. You want to see how good Brandon Smith is? Central East Buchanan should be a delight to watch.
Excellent. All right. Good job, Gabe.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll take a break, and we're going to bring on Coach Dave Wilson of Kingsburg. We'll talk about that game and their matchup against Tulare next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Survivor action, Rocky III. God, that doesn't pump you up. What does? Got Dave Wilson, head coach at Kingsbury. We've been teasing this conversation all show long. Vikings improved to 8-3. They're going to be taking on number one Tulare next Friday after defeating Dinuba 28-7, a game that we had on 1430 ESPN. So, Coach Wilson, you're kind of in a familiar spot last year. I remember doing this same exact scenario last year. What are you looking at right now?
I'm at a swim meet right now in and Alyssa Viejo.
So, yeah, this happened last year, right? You beat Redwood in the playoffs, a game that we had on the radio, and you got up early and left at 6 in the morning for your daughter's swim meet down in SoCal. So this is a deja vu all over again?
Yeah, the same time I left, and I'm at the exact same spot I talked to you last year at this time.
And again, so you guys are coming off a win. So that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing when you're taking this phone call at this time of the year. You guys played a really balanced football game last night, defeating Dinuba on the road, avenging a, 21-16 loss, I believe it was, in the regular season. You and your staff, what did you guys see on film or maybe game plan was? You're like, hey, it's going to be a little bit different this time. What advantages did you like going into last night's game?
Well, I think Dinuba is always a tough game. I mean, where we're at and who we've played over the years, I always would consider Dinuba as one of those rival games. You know, they're only about 8 or 9 miles away. And I think the first time around, I knew they were good. Obviously, if you remember, we had some injuries. I don't want to put the blame on that because they did play well. We didn't play well on defense. But, it was back in week 3. We're watching film and we're just seeing who we have in at that time. And we had different guys in different spots. So we just felt like this time around, we felt like we could match up with them a little bit better. Like a lot of teams, Dinuba, you can tell had some injuries. They were a little banged up at times, but at the same time, you know, and I think just the motivation of how things went down the first time we played them, you know, there wasn't much we had to say to kind of get the kids fired up to play. And it's always a physical brand of football with us, and it's always physical with them. And so our guys came ready to play, and especially our defense, you know, and I figured if we could control the line of scrimmage pretty well and limit some big plays, their screen game, things they like to do, we would be pretty good. And it kind of worked out that way.
All right, so let's go back to this scenario last night. You guys are down 7-6. You gave up a touchdown after you guys fumbled it, gave away some good field position. Dinuba makes a really athletic play, gets a touchdown, kick the extra point. They're up 7-6, 8 seconds on that clock. And then what happened?
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't imagine, you know, you always you know, we always have a lot of confidence in our two deep guys, Cooper Holt and Justin Engelbright. But, yeah, no, I thought, hey, let's go into the half. We get the ball. We'll make some adjustments, and then we'll come out. And lo and behold, man, you know, old Justin Engelbright decided to take things in his own hands, and he decided to go about 83 yards for a touchdown and kind of gave him a little gut punch and at the same time really kind of boosted our confidence. You know, like you had said, leading up to that, we had made some really – just bad decisions and bad execution and making some bad mistakes, especially with the turnovers. And I know Coop was involved in both of those, so he was kind of really eager to get back out there and make up for some of those things. But Justin just, you know, Coop doesn't get the ball kicked to him much anymore this year since that Washington Union game, and Justin gets quite a few opportunities, and we have a lot of confidence in him. He can run, and you saw that last night, man. You give him some space, he can find it, and he can scoot. And that was huge. That was huge for us. What a crazy, what was it, about 35 seconds at the end of that first half, man. And getting in there and executing that two-point conversion kind of put us back on track. And we felt, obviously, a lot. I think that was a big turning point in the game because we kind of went in the locker room feeling much better, like we had salvaged some bad mistakes. And Dinuba probably was thinking they had missed an opportunity to get in the locker room with the lead. So that was real good for us. For sure.
It was. And then your defense played lights out in the second half. Number 55 for you guys is an absolute beast. Hey, and your son, Levi, got another touchdown catch in the second half. I'm just saying, man, when we broadcast your games.
Yeah, my wife's already told me, Paul, you guys, yeah.
Right?
My wife has already told me, have you talked to Paul about broadcasting the Tulare game?
Right? You got to go 3 for 3 if we do that. So big play from your son catching the touchdown pass in number 55, man. Just kind of talk about your defensive line, just looking out there. You know, obviously, you know, we watched a lot of track games, and we see, you know, the bigger schools and the D1 teams. But your defensive line, physically, you guys are impressive as anyone I've seen. You guys got some dudes.
Yeah, I have to give credit to our defense. You know, Coach Musselman, Coach Hanchula, Coach Carinder, Coach Woods, those guys work hard. And I feel like sometimes our defense doesn't quite get the credit. I mean, I look at our league and, you know, we played tough against Clovis East. But, I mean, to shut out Sanger and then to hold Kerman to 7 points. And then, you know, I just kind of feel like they don't get as much praise as they probably should. You know, they always have a good game plan. We're real physical up front. And, Emilio is kind of the leader of that group. I mean, he's one of my favorites, man. I mean, you talk about a guy who just is he's a wrestler, so he kind of brings that wrestling mentality. And he's real physical, but at the same time, he's just a super kid who plays on both sides of the ball for us. And I've had him now for 3 years, and he kind of leads our group. You know, rarely does a guy up in the front kind of take the helm of your team and pull everybody with him. But he does that, you know, and we kind of go as they go. And those guys really came to play last night, getting after Dinuba's quarterback, you know, trying to not make him feel comfortable. He obviously is really mobile, so that was tough at times. But we did a really good job. And as I told you before the game, I felt like if we control their running back a little bit, kind of force them into some things they maybe don't want to do, I figured we'd be in a pretty good spot. And I think we did that. We had a big pick that got a good return that set up our first touchdown. And, Yeah, our defense kind of led the way, and our offense took a little while to get going, but once we did, we were able to run the football and connect up some big plays and ended up being a really good night.
Exactly. We got a couple minutes with Coach Wilson. All right, so next week you're taking on Tulare at Tulare. You're very familiar with the program and with that stadium and with that turf over there. What are you guys going to have to do next week to beat the Tribe?
Oh, man. They present all kinds of problems. Coach Bennett and the Tribe, they're so good, it seems like, every year. And I feel like I'm watching the film, and it's like this is a lot of the same guys we faced 3 years ago in the same situation, but they were all sophomores. Now they're all seniors.
Yeah.
So, they're going to be a test. They'll create a big challenge for us, man. And obviously we're going to have to try to limit the big play. I really feel like they're a big play team. You know, when you can dump a ball out 10 yards and there's a guy capable of running an 80, that makes it really difficult. And so we're going to try to limit the big plays and try to get some things going on offense that can keep their defense offense off the field. And hopefully we'll be there in the end, you know, and we can't make mistakes like we did last night and hopefully force them to make a few mistakes. And it'll be a tall task, but, we're kind of getting used to this every year. We're kind of D2 guys now, and we always tend to run into somebody at some point that's a real talented football program. We got a lot of respect for them, and we'll get out there and we'll play as hard as we can. When you're on the field, you got a chance. But, yeah, there's problems. That their field's tough. That place is a tough place to play, and they got a lot of athletes, and they're really well coached.
Well, we're excited for that matchup at Tulare. You guys have a really good football team this year. It's been a pleasure to watch you guys. And last time you were on the show, I didn't get to this, and I don't know how you're going to do this in 30 seconds. I didn't even prep you for this question. But we did not talk about professional wrestling. I want you to compare your favorite professional wrestler of all time to, like, this Kingsburg team. What wrestler would personify this year's Kingsburg Vikings football team?
Oh, man, that's a good one. We have all kinds of different styles. You know, I think of, those perimeter guys can be a little arrogant, like Ric Flair, of course, you know, feeling really good about themselves when they're out there. But then we kind of got those lunch pail guys as well, like the Dusty Rhodes and those types of guys that really just kind of thrive on being the working man, you know. And we've kind of taken on that persona. I would definitely say our defense is a little bit more of that, but I love the WWE questions, Paul.
I know you do. All right, last thing. I got 10 seconds before we get kicked off here. Your number 55 be more The Rock or Hulk Hogan?
Oh, easily The Rock. Yeah, he's got a little bit of that swag to him, for sure. You can see that when he plays.
All right, good stuff. All right, they're telling me we got to cut this stuff out. All right, hey, Dave, thanks for joining us down there in SoCal. Appreciate it. Good luck next week.
Hey, thanks, Paul. We'll
All right. Thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Jorge Rodriguez for hanging out here. Tanvir for producing the show. Eric Brown, Gabe Camarillo, and Dave Wilson. Have a great rest of the week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.